We'd like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you are blessed by this radio ministry and would like to help support it, your gift would be greatly appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our scripture this morning is from John 14:15-21. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me because I live. You will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in your Father, and you are in me. I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and show myself to him. Our sermon this morning, A Heartwarming Spirit by Pastor Mike Sini.
Let's come together in prayer. Our gracious God, how exciting it is to be in your presence, to know that as we gather together, there you are. You have drawn us here. You have come into our midst, that you might bless us, that you might do something that would make our lives more faithful to you, more a blessing to others, that you would give us a sense of your love and your presence. Lord, continue to speak through us throughout this day. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. From the scriptures you just heard read, can you imagine the pain? The pain of the disciples as they listen to Jesus say, I am no longer going to be with you. They'd spent 3 years traveling with this man that they believed was someone special, someone divine. They had spent 3 years walking through the areas of Galilee and Judea, listening to his preaching, watching all the miracles take place, being there when people's lives were changed. And now Jesus is telling them they will no longer be able to see him physically walking with them each day. No longer will they hear him speaking, teaching. No longer will they be able to touch him, to greet him, to see him physically there. But the good news Jesus offers to them is, I will not leave you as orphans. I won't leave you as orphans. They would soon experience the presence of Jesus in a new and unimaginable way. They had no idea what that would be. But Jesus says, I will be with you. And here is one of the first times when Jesus tells them, I will be present with you in the Holy Spirit. When that gift comes, you will know I am there. And no longer will Jesus then be bound by earthly time. No longer will he be bound by physical space. But he'll always be there, always with his disciples. Now, through the Spirit, Jesus will be able to work day after day teaching them. Through the Spirit, Jesus will be able to daily continue working on their hearts and stirring up their feelings and emotions. And the best news we can have today is that that very same Spirit has been promised to us. That's a promise to each of us who follow Christ. This inward presence of Jesus is Jesus' perfect gift to us. There was over 30 years ago when an article was found in the Reader's Digest magazine. The author, she wanted to share her thoughts on what the perfect gift is. What would be some of your candidates? What do you think would be the perfect gift? Well, we could all probably come up with different ones. We'd all have different ideas what a perfect gift might be. But she wanted to get to the heart of what is the perfect gift. And she described it this way. She said, the perfect gift would be perfect for either sex, someone of any age, people of any size, no matter what job they held, no matter what their income level is, there is one perfect gift for all of them. It's the most suitable gift for any occasion. And while it's not an expensive gift, it is a gift anyone can afford. What do you think she was talking about? What is that perfect gift? It is the gift of personal presence. Being there. Being present with someone. Anyone can do it. Doesn't take much. Anyone can offer that perfect gift. And that's what Jesus is getting at here. The perfect gift is Him being available. You know how when you have someone very special suddenly are in your presence? Maybe you weren't expecting it, or maybe it's been a long time and now they're with you. It stirs your emotions, doesn't it? Sometimes it might make you cry a little bit, see that they're there. To have someone special suddenly in your presence, it brings back memories of times you've spent before with each other, and it begins to create new memories of being together again. If there is one thing that this terrible quarantine has taught us in the past 2 months, it's the importance of presence to us. How important it is to have people with us. We are so needful to be with family members. Already to the point that you've seen on television of people putting together Ziploc bags and creating a hugging door so that they can safely hug their family members. Why would you go to all that work? Because that presence, that being together is vital. For our friends, and during this time of quarantine, we look for all kinds of ways to connect. And you and I have been connecting with people. Mostly through the internet, but finding ways to reconnect, to make sure you don't lose that relationship. And then you're here today because you value church family. To be with the people that you have spent your lifetime with, to know that they love you and you love them, it's important. We would risk coming together because it's that important. Even mail. Many people have rediscovered what postage stamps are and how to use the postal service. And many of us are finding ourselves back in those days when Some of you who served your country in the military know that those letters from home, they were gold. They were a treasure to get something that connected us, that made us present together. Or if you went to college, you probably remember how important it was to get a letter from home, to know that what's going on, and you just feel that tie closer. Even if the letter didn't have a check, you knew that it was important to receive. And then today, people are finding all kinds of ways, whether it's through the mail, whether it's through emails, whatever means we use, we're looking for ways to be present with each other. Because it's that important. That's the gift we want to offer. And that's how the Holy Spirit works in us. It reminds us of those relationships. It reminds us what Jesus has taught us. It stirs our emotions. It allows us to feel God close again. Now, friends, we can know a lot about our faith. We can study a lot about God. We can learn a lot about the Bible. We can continue to learn how to live a Christian lifestyle, what that means to us. But those knowledge and beliefs come alive when our emotions are stirred. They come alive when our emotions are stirred. That's when our hearts get engaged and begin to work. That's the Spirit's work in us, to not just work in our minds, but to work in our hearts. That makes our faith come alive. Friends, that's one reason why we offer what we do here in a church. We put these banners up, not because they're easy to put up, because they aren't, but they do teach us things. But there's not much you learn from the banners. They're more designed to touch our hearts, to make us feel the joy, especially today, the joy of the Easter season. That's one reason why our ancestors, when they built this church, didn't put up plain windows. That would have cost them a whole lot less. That would have really helped the budget, I'm sure. But they decided instead to go and get these very fancy, colorful windows. They paid a premium for this glass and for all these symbols. Why? They don't teach you much. We know the story of the sower. We see some Old Testament figures. We see Jesus and the four gospel writers. We see hundreds of symbols in the windows. They're meant to touch our hearts, to connect us with what we know behind the story. It's meant to stir us. It was worth that much to those who built this church to have these heart-stirring windows for us. And then when we come together, we always sing. And when we are singing out of the hymnal, most of those songs aren't going to teach you things you didn't already know. Those songs are meant to stir our hearts, to connect us with God, to help us feel God's presence, to feel that joy of what it means to belong to God. That's why as we come together, we pray together. We come for prayer. Prayer is not telling God something he didn't already know. We're not going to learn much out of a prayer. It's our time to connect our hearts with God's heart. It's a heart-stirring time. And we share ourselves with the one who's present with us. And then you'll find on the tables today, there are those little upper room devotionals. Why do we put those out? They're not studies in theology. It's not like taking a course in the Bible. They're simply people's stories of how they've been connected to God. And when you read those stories, oftentimes they touch your hearts. Not so much your minds as your heart. And you feel the presence of Christ as you read their encounter with Christ. And one thing that most churches offer today is to be a part of a smaller group. Not just a congregation as a whole, but to have whether a Sunday school class or some other group where you can get together and you might learn some things. I hope you do. But often the beauty of a small group is to connect people. Not on a mental level, but on an emotional level. A heartfelt level. A place where you feel joy. You feel sorrow for each other. You feel that connection, that strength that someone can give you. It's all heart work more than the mind. You see, so much that the church does today is meant not just to feed your minds, but really to touch your hearts, to draw us closer to Christ than ever before. Because when your heart is stirred, that makes your faith come alive. Your faith becomes so important to you. You have to do something with that. When your faith comes alive, it's moved to action. That's just the natural result. When your heart is so excited and so touched and so moved by what you know Jesus has done for you, it just naturally makes you now want to do something with that. You want to share that. You want to offer that kind of love to someone else. Think about the whole New Testament and why we have it. It wasn't that God had made a mistake or a miscalculation. It was that God's heart felt the pain of seeing us trapped in sin. Knowing that without God's intervention, we would be stuck there and never have hope. And so God, from the Father's heart, sent His own Son. He sent His Son because He loved us. Because He loved us. And then as Jesus arrived, He taught people. He healed people. Why did He do it? Because He cared. He cared about every person He encountered. His heart was full of compassion. He felt for every person that He met. And so that leads us to us. Our acts of kindness spring out of caring hearts. Our acts of kindness spring out of hearts that have been touched with God's love. And now we want to do something with that as well. That's why this month, at least through Father's Day, we are challenged to give our baby bottles, or create our baby bottles and put money in them for Clarity. Why do we do that? Because we care about those babies. And we care about those families. Those parents who may be struggling with that pregnancy. Struggling to be able to take care of their newborn. So we give the Clarity to help because we care. And through this whole month of May, this has been our Erase Hunger Month traditionally. And we've been challenged to give to food pantries. Why do we do that? Intellectually, we know our neighbors and friends may need some extra help with food. But we really go shopping for that extra food out of the fullness of our hearts. We know that they are struggling. We feel that pain. And out of our love, out of God's love, we want to make a difference. So we give. I came across a story of a lady named Anesia. Anesia lives in the country of Brazil.
One Sunday afternoon, Anesia answered a knock on the door, and there was this older lady there, and she asked if Anesia had any extra newspapers or magazines she'd like to get rid of. Well, Anesia didn't really ask why. She just thought, well, I've got some papers, magazines I can get rid of, so here's a few. And the lady put them in some bags and headed down the street. The next Sunday afternoon, knock on the door. Anesia answered it, and there was that woman again. She said, do you have any extra newspapers or magazines? Well, she still had a few, so she handed them to her, and she put them in her bags and went down the street. The next Sunday afternoon, you can fill this in now. Anesia answered the door, and there was this woman asking again for newspapers and magazines. So now she's curious. She said, why are you collecting these newspapers and magazines? Are you going to go sell them? And the woman said, oh no. I'm collecting the newspapers for an elderly gentleman I know so he can line the walls of his home and keep him a little warmer during the cold nights. And Anesia thought, well, what about the magazines? And she said, well, I know a young woman who's a paraplegic. And it really makes her days more pleasant when she has things that she can read. And Anesia is just blown away. And then she looks at these big bags the woman has been toting around and said, aren't those bags kind of heavy already? She said, oh no, I'm going to get even more and take them to him. What a heart. What a heart so full of the love of God. Someone who can't make a big difference in someone's life or in the world, and yet she saw two needs and found a way to meet them. Her heart was so full that it moved her to action, to serve those who could never serve her. See, if you think about it, our God is the most emotional being in the universe. Have you thought of God that way? God is the most emotional being in the universe. The letters of John keep telling us over and over, God is love. That's how you describe God, by an emotion. It's God's heart that we connect with. It's God's heart that moves God to act on our behalf and stirs our hearts to share it with others. God knew that the best way to stir our emotions, to keep us caring for others, is to offer the presence of His Spirit, to make sure that His Spirit was with us all the time. That, my friends, is the perfect gift. The gift of God being present. That gift will stir up our joy constantly. It'll stir up our compassion for one another. It'll stir up our love to the point of wanting to share it with someone. Now, in 2 weeks, we're going to fully celebrate the coming of that wonderful gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. But even now, you can get a head start. I invite you to open your heart, maybe like a Mayflower, opening your heart to the warmth of God's love and to the breeze of the Holy Spirit. Let that Spirit in you, in me, move us to share God's love with someone. It might be something very simple as giving them a magazine or giving them some kind of gift or just being present, sending a card. Whatever that is the result of your heart, that's a gift God honors. So as you think about the needs around us today, and there are a lot of needs, let's consider, what does my heart want to do? If God's Spirit is stirring me to action, what would honor God? How could I bring God's love to someone else? So let's come to that God in prayer now.
Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for your presence here. We're thankful that you choose to be present with us, and that you're all about love and teaching us love, teaching us how to put love in action. Lord, continue to stir our hearts. Keep us a joyful people, a people compassionate, caring, wanting to share the love of God with others. Whether it's to lead them to a relationship with you or just to reinforce the promises they've been living on. Thank you, Lord, for being present with us. And we are anticipating that Pentecost morning when we can celebrate that Spirit always and forever living and moving within us. We give you thanks, Lord, for what you've given us, that perfect gift. And we ask your blessing upon us and those who will benefit from your work. For we pray in Christ's holy name. Amen.
As a response to God's perfect gift, I invite you to turn in your hymnals to number 328. It's just one verse, and you can remain seated, of course. We'll sing, "Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place."